The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are reviewing the Survivor cards in A Light in the Fog, the fourth Mythos pack in the Innsmouth Conspiracy Cycle. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these player card reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. The first Survivor card in the pack is Spirit of Humanity. It is a 2-cost asset that costs 2 experience points. It has a willpower skill icon. The ritual, blessed, and cursed traits. It has 2 free triggered abilities. The first one is exhaust Spirit of Humanity and take 1 damage and 1 horror to add 2 blessed tokens to the chaos bag. And the other one is exhaust Spirit of Humanity and add 2 cursed tokens to the chaos bag. Heal 1 damage and 1 horror. It takes up an arcane slot. Again, it's a pretty easy way to add tokens to the bag. Survivors seem to have some of the easiest ways to add tokens, and they seem to have so few to actually leverage them, which is kind of interesting. It does have synergy with cards that I think if you were to play this, say, in a desperate skills deck or along with Meat Cleaver or something like that, where you need to hit a certain threshold to make the card more powerful, this can help you get there that much easier.
Calvin's an obvious choice.
Yeah. And, I mean, you can play the damage and horror here is non-direct, so an investigator like Tommy could play this and basically sack his allies to gain at least 2 resources and possibly a whole lot more using the first free triggered ability to add blessed tokens and generate resources. So that's pretty good. And then, of course, it's a free triggered ability heal, which we don't get very much in this game. Most of the time, healing requires you to take 1 action to play the card and then another action to do some healing. This one, especially late game, late in a scenario, I'd be quite happy to trigger this if I was sort of on the bubble and worried, oh, I might, if I get a wrong pull from the encounter deck or something like that, I might take a horror or something like that I can't soak. This just lets you heal flat out. So, and then those curse tokens may never be an issue if you finish the game shortly thereafter. So, What do you think about this one, Nate?
I think this card's great. There's a lot of investigators that like cards like this. And in Survivors, I could see a deck where you play Jessica Hyde and you play Peter Silvestri and you put the damage and the horror on them and you just continuously add blessed tokens every turn. Yeah. And then eventually you may get to the point where you need to heal damage and horror, and then you have that option as well. Like I was saying earlier, this is a great card for Calvin because it allows him to speed up his ability to ramp up to a 5 stat line, and then it also allows him to cushion himself when he gets a little too close to the edge. So, as a Calvin player, this is awesome. And like you were saying, even with investigators like Tommy, where you can just put damage on your allies and then gain resources and bless tokens that way, it's also really good. I think this is a pretty solid card, but I don't think every investigator wants it.
Yeah, I think I've actually got this in one of my decks right now, and I never did end up playing it. I think because I think at that point in the game when I had it, I was like, well, I don't really need the blessed tokens, and I don't really need the curse tokens, so I was like, well, or I didn't need the healing, so it ended up sort of just being a willpower skill icon. But I mean, Calvin loves this card. I could see Tommy definitely loving this card. Opens up some other builds. I think I would give this one definitely a plus one. It's probably an Elder Sign in Calvin for sure. But I think for most investigators, it settles at plus one if you're interested in these sorts of abilities.
Yeah, it's really good. I would be inclined to agree with you on plus one. This is a very strong card. It's a very good build around card.
Yeah. I really like cards like this because it does give. It's something a lot of different investigators can play for various reasons. It's not, if some will use it for the healing, others like Calvin will use it to just fuel their abilities. Tommy can do other things with it. I don't think we've seen an investigator yet that keys off the ritual trait, so who knows what that will look like. If and when that investigator arrives, there might be some interesting things to do there. So yeah, the arcane slot is certainly the best, a great slot for survivors. Most survivor, I can't think of a survivor besides Patrice who might actually care about the arcane slot in any meaningful way. So the final card in the pack is Harmony Restored. It is a 3-cost survivor event that costs 2 experience points. It has 2 willpower skill icons, the Fortune and Blessed traits. Search the chaos bag for X curse tokens and return them to the token pool. X is the number of blessed tokens in the chaos bag. Gain 1 resource for each curse token removed this way. I threw this in a deck to give it a try, and, well, it didn't work. Because, again, I was relying on Tempt Fate for the curse tokens. I never drew Tempt Fate, so this was basically 2 willpower skill icons. And if I'm paying 2 experience for a card, I want a little bit more out of it than 2 willpower skill icons. This is a survivor card, but I don't think there are many survivors who can actually play this, at least certainly in solo. It might be better in multiplayer, but maybe somebody like Min, who has access to curse tech, or Wendy, who can pull the curse tech from the rogues, might be able to make use of this, or possibly... it might be good in multiplayer, but as you mentioned before we were recording, somebody's probably putting those curse tokens in the bag for their own purposes, and if you were to suddenly yank them all out, they may not be that happy about it. What do you think about this one, Nate?
This card feels like a trap. You look at it and go, oh, I could gain 10 resources, that's amazing, but how often is that really ever going to happen? And while I could see this working out with the previous card we looked at, Spirit of Humanity, where you could take some damage, add some blessed tokens, and then heal that damage off, add some curse tokens, and then use this card to remove the curse tokens and get some money out of it. But for me, that feels like a lot of setup for very little payoff. And survivors are a class that are notorious for not needing resources.
Exactly. Yeah. You look at sort of the lack of resource generation in the class, and I think in other classes like Guardian and Mystic, that would be like, man, oh man, how am I going to pay for stuff? But I've added extra resource generation to my survivor decks, and then ultimately just ended up pulling it out because I just don't need it. Like the decks run on such a lot of their cards are either free or cost 1 experience point. Most of the expensive survivor cards don't see a lot of play in typical survivor decks just because they're overpriced and the survivors don't need to, don't tend to play a lot of resource generation anyway. I mean, they can get by on the occasional Take Heart and back in the day, Emergency Cash. I don't think Emergency Cash sees as much play as it used to. The survivors run pretty well. And then, of course, you've got decks that the survivor decks that just don't want resources. Like they're running Dark Horse and they just don't care. And they can get by on the 1 resource that Madame LaBranche gives them every turn. And they're perfectly happy to run that way. And so this is kind of a strange card. When I looked at it, I'm like, man, you can generate a pile of resources with this. But then I was like, the work you've got to put into it to actually do that is a lot. And then it's like, well, what am I going to do with five resources. You know,
it also costs three resources to play, right?
Exactly.
So you have to pay three resources and then get maybe some return on your investment.
So you need at least three curse tokens in the bag. And three blessed tokens.
Yeah, I was gonna say you need three of each.
You need three of each to before this thing even pays for itself. And then it's like, you know, maybe if the survivor's talent was better, but like Dig Deep, I never needed to play it. And
Scrapper's okay, but
yeah, like Scrapper's is decent, but yeah, it's just it's a weird card. How would you rate this one?
I'm gonna give it an Elder Thing.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you.
I think the saving grace for this card is two willpower icons.
Yeah. Yeah. If you'd asked me when I first looked at the pack, I would have been like, I had stars in my eyes with this one. I was just like, wow, this is fantastic. And then having actually tried to play it and then thinking about it a little more, I was just like, yeah, this is weird. This is a weird survivor card that just doesn't sort of fit in with what survivors are doing or want to do. Even if you want to play a survivor that plays those expensive survivor cards, you can just play on your own and turn, reduce their costs. So rather than requiring, and that's a permanent that starts on you can get the permanent version that starts on the table at the beginning of the game, and you don't have to do the whole, I'm going to add bless, I'm going to ask curse, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to finally pull this off. And I mean, you could play this in multiplayer, but again, it's like if somebody's putting curse tokens in the bag, they may want them there, and you pulling them all out on them might be might be a rude awakening.
Yeah, it's kind of a jerk move if you do that. It's just weird. And when you compare this to Nothing Left to Lose, which costs one more experience but doesn't cost any resources and can draw you cards.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of work required for this when Nothing Left to Lose will just get you everything you want, like draw up to five cards, gain up to five resources. I think you've got to remove that card from the game, but
okay,
fine.
Okay.
Like most games, I mean, I've been tracking all the games I've played, and you know, barring certain scenarios, 12 or 13 turns is all you're is the average length of most games for me. So really, you don't have a lot of time to do all this setup. Like, that's the thing. It's just like 12 turns, the game is over. So you've got to add three curse or more curse, like six curse tokens, six blessed tokens. You got to, no.
Yeah, the fact that X has to equal the number of blessed tokens is just so weird.
Yeah. Well, it's, I guess, really, harmony is important. And yeah, this would be, I mean, even in multiplayer, this one would be really hard to play, I think, because if you're playing with four players, you're having all those extra pulls from the bag. I haven't actually sat down at a table where everybody was throwing bless and curse tokens into the bag and pulling from them, but I'd be really curious to find out, like, to see how many curse tokens and bless tokens would be in the bag when you set out to play this thing, because you may just end up, due to circumstances beyond your control, where this is just like, I can't, why would I play this? Like, it's going to cost me three resources to do nothing. So
yeah, or the other issue where you see all the curse token cards but don't see any of the bless token cards, or vice versa, and it's just weird.
Yeah, so I don't know, maybe this one drops even lower, but I'll settle it Elder Thing. Maybe somebody can find a use
there's
for it.
Like, there's a lot of potential. If you could get 10 and 10 in the bag, you could gain seven resources off of this, and that's okay. Not great, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. And then even if there are 10 tokens in the bag, like, you've done a lot of work to get to that point already, so what are you doing? Like, why were you spending your resources doing that when you could have just spent your resources playing the cards you intended to play in the first place?
Yeah, cards like this really sort of just drive home the point. Like, I'm not really much of a combo player in Arkham, and I don't think it really rewards combo play as much as some of other games, because it's just like, by the time you have assembled said combo, you can just win the game. It's just like, I investigate, just playing sort of vanilla Arkham Horror, where it's like, I investigate, fight, advance the act deck, and win. And by the before you this elaborate combo that you have planned is pulls off. And I mean, like you say, gaining resources is great, but unless you've got some way to leverage those resources that you've just gained, I mean, it's really pointless. It's just busy work.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, what are you doing once you gain those seven resources?
Yeah, and really the way survivors are built these days, I just don't see them needing a ton. That's going to do it for our look at the survivor cards in A Light in the Fog. Spirit of Humanity, really interesting card that will lend itself to a lot of different investigators for a lot of different purposes. Quite an interesting card to build around. And then Harmony Restored, which, in terms of sheer weird survivor cards, it is not. Not one that will, I don't think it's going to see a ton of play. So
Yeah, I don't either.
what do you think about this pack overall, Nate?
Overall, I think it's a pretty solid pack. I think Guardians, Seekers, Survivors, I think all the classes make out pretty well in this pack. There's a couple duds, and I think some people will really enjoy Lucky Penny, but I think that we've made it pretty clear that we are not those people. And Harmony Restored is terrible. Don't play it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think the this pack has some pretty interesting cards that I'm looking forward to building around. Spirit of Humanity and Eye of Djinn being the two that really pop out to me. Having played a curse deck, Fae really appeals to me. I think that's a nice place to put your experience points if you want that to, if you're already dedicating to the curse mechanic. I haven't been playing much much Guardian lately. And I haven't really played around with the Blessed deck besides a couple of plays with Sister Mary, which certainly Shield of Faith could has an ability on it that I'm interested in exploring more. So, and of course the one Seeker card is just busted. So I mean that's not so it'll be interesting to see what I mean, the cards for the final two packs have been spoiled. If you know where to look, head over to Reddit. I think there's a couple of posts there that have the card images, and I've got to say I'm a little worried about some of the cards in those packs, because a lot of them sort of deal with encounter deck manipulation, which is something that the designers have to be extremely careful with. And from a lot of the chatter I've seen online, they may not have been careful enough. And a lot of, not a, I wouldn't say a lot, but there will be degenerate decks out there that will really basically nullify the Mythos phase, which is not something I think they should be messing around with.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree with you. As someone that's seen a lot of these cards, I too am skeptical. And I just kind of wish there was a little more with the curse and bless mechanic. Like, not more cards. I guess I wish there was more variety among the decks, because like while the classes have different ways that they interact with the tokens, those don't really amount to any interesting decks for the most part, I feel, other than I'm playing X Investigator Curse deck, I'm playing X Investigator Bless deck. And I feel like a lot of those decks are just kind of cramming in the best of that strategy and going with it. Versus like taking the bits and pieces that work with that particular strategy.
Yeah, I think I well, actually, I've played the a curse deck, which I thought was, I mean, it was fun, and I felt it was, you know, it was interesting. And I've played a survivor version of a bless deck, which I found really sort of underwhelming in the end. It was just like, I've added some bless tokens. I've got a couple of ways to manipulate them, but really not many. And I have a bless version and a regular version of the same deck. And I'm like, I just prefer playing the regular version because the bless version just doesn't really do anything. Like, it's like, unless you get the bless tech in the deck to begin with, nothing really fires. So it's kind of
the other problem, I think, with the curse and bless tokens is that a lot of the cards cost experience too. So your deck is like half powered throughout most of the campaign.
Yeah, you've got to make a commitment to it, which is like pulling you out of other strategies to pursue this one that may not really do a whole lot. And when I look at the, you know, just speaking about the survivor cards, I mean, there's, okay, you've got Keep Faith, which adds bless tokens. You've got Beloved, which will give you an auto success on one skill test if you pull a bless token. Okay,
which you were probably already passing anyway.
Which you were probably going to pass anyway, and no big deal. You've got Unrelenting, I think, is probably the most interesting one of the bunch, because you can do so many things with that, and it's just busted in Silas. But then you've got like Spirit of Humanity. Again, you've got to build around that and sort of have a plan what you're going to do from the start. I don't think it's a card you just pick up along the way and say, I'm buying this card. And then Third Time's a Charm. I mean, I've played it and it helped me pass a skill test. But again, it's just like, unless you're, because I pulled a bless token with it, you know, I just find it really sort of at least the bless mechanic in Survivor, I found it really sort of underwhelming. And like Token of Faith, again, I mean, we talked about that card back in when we did our review of the Innsmouth Conspiracy, and it was just like, it triggers if you draw a curse token or an auto fail. Like, it just doesn't happen all that often. So it's like, why am I taking up my accessory slot with this card that just doesn't really do very much? And just give me Rabbit's Foot or Cherished Keepsake or something like that.
And it's like, with other cards, you can work on triggering them, right? Like, it's much easier to fail a skill test than it is to draw a curse token on a skill test.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a much harder mechanic to build around because you're at the mercy of random chance when you draw tokens from the bag. And if you make a strategy like that too consistent, then what was the point of even adding the curse and bless tokens to begin with?
Yeah.
So
we'll see how things shape up in the final two packs. I believe the Lair of Dagon, according to FFG, officially was released on Friday. Who knows when people will be getting that pack. We've heard varying reports from around the world as to when these packs are actually showing up. I haven't received my notification yet, so hopefully maybe this week.
I haven't either, but I've talked to people in Europe that have already received their copy, so.
So we'll see that. And then, of course, the Innsmouth Conspiracy will wrap up in April with Into the Maelstrom, and from then on we don't know. We have Return to the Circle Undone will be coming out probably in June, but beyond that we just have rumors of a revised core set, and that's it. So
yeah, we haven't even heard anything about the new campaign, and they usually release information about that in February. So
yeah, I was expecting it to come out in February, and so MJ's reluctance to, well, inability, really, just not reluctance, but, you know,
it's an ability.
Tight-lipped about any information about the next deluxe expansion makes me think that we're probably not going to see that until after the revised core set, if that comes out. It was slated, I guess, for September, so I wouldn't expect a new cycle until October, which would be, I think, the first real delay that this game has seen. It seems like LCGs are prone to these sorts of delays from time to time, and I think this one will be the longest that we've seen. So I'm, as a content creator, I will have to think of things to talk about for 3 or 4 months while we're in the lull.
I'm sure we'll find plenty to chat about.
That's right. Well, thanks again, Nate, and we'll be back with our look at the Lair of Dagon here in a few weeks.
That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I am also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your Elder Sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.